Yeah, good morning, everybody. And, nice. Everyone's warmed up after Tim. You've always got to be careful with Tim when it's a half term. You don't know what he's going to come out with. Extra enthusiasm levels kick in. But yeah, it's good to see you. And if you're visiting us this morning, you're really, really welcome. I hope you enjoy being with us. And like they said, yeah, my name's Matthew, if we haven't said hello yet. And just bear with me while I sort myself out here. Great. So today, have you ever, or you know when you get invited over someone's house for a meal? It's always a nice occasion. If you stick my first up for me, Jonah. It's nice to get invited over someone's house for a meal, isn't it? And when you are going for a meal, maybe it's a birthday, maybe it's a celebration, maybe just with friends, you've got some like essential ingredients for the occasion of a meal. So the first thing, probably the most important, is you've got to have the people, you've got to have some, you know, the good company, like we got up here on the screen, and then you need the food as well, so, you know, to go with it, otherwise not really a meal, and some drinks as well to go with that, so that you can, you know, not choke. And so some very important ingredients, and this week, up in our Penland building where we, the church started, we run all our projects. We do a project called Gap Food where we teach kids about fruit and vegetables from the local schools. And on the last week, they cook a simple meal for someone from their family and they invite them up. And it's called the Gap Food Meal. And we had it this Tuesday and then we give them prizes and certificates. It's always like a brilliant time. And they always got brothers and sisters and extra people. And this week it was absolutely packed. And it was just like so much fun. And the kids are so chuffed to be able, that it's like their turn to cook something for their family. And it was really lovely. And Jesus as well, he uses the picture of a meal to describe his relationship with us and how he wants to be a part of our lives. And in Revelation, Jesus writes, it says this, look, this is talking about Jesus, like, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. And Jesus uses that as a picture to describe that we have relationship with him when we invite him into our lives. And that it's personal and it's close and it's real because he really does love us and care about us. And so today we're continuing with our Acts series where we've been looking at the very first followers of Jesus and how they discovered this relationship with Jesus and how they were the very first church and how they began to live out that relationship with God together. And they were the early church and we find their story in the book of Acts in the Bible. And we're looking at that together to think about how can we be a church like them, like a church we find in the Bible. And so we've been reading these kind of verses that almost sums up the early church. And this is what it says. It says, those who accepted his message, Jesus' message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And these verses sum up a real great, exciting, dynamic church of people experiencing God, you know, in a real way in their lives and doing it together. And so this is why we're exploring it. And today, we are looking at the next part, and today we want to look at these. There's two essentials that we see for us as we live out our relationship with Jesus, and these are actually two gifts for us, two gifts that Jesus gives to us. A little bit like when you're invited for a meal, that's almost like a gift in some ways. And the essential part of that is obviously you're together. So when we come to Jesus, we have relationship with him. But then just like when you go to a meal, your host will give you something to eat and something to drink. Jesus gives us two gifts when we come to him. And they're two essentials for every follower of Jesus. And they are baptism and the Holy Spirit. And these are the verses that we get it from this scripture here. So this is what we're going to look at today. So the first one was, right at the start where we just read, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
And earlier on in the passage, it says that Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children." And just like when you go to a meal, you know, you're invited to spend time with the person. And like, you could turn up to a meal and sit there and like not eat anything that they offer you and not drink anything that they offer you and, you know, just kind of be there. But really, when you're invited, the host, they want to give these things to you, don't they? They want to spend and have a meal together. And these are two things that Jesus wants to give us. They're two gifts for him, from him, and two essentials for us. So that's what we're going to look at today. So to catch us up on the series and the story so far, we saw how Jesus, like Tim was speaking about in the kids spot, how he gave his life for us on the cross when he died. And 3 days later, he was raised to life. And over the next 40 days, he appeared to hundreds of people, over 500 people, people who were his followers. And they realized, wow, that Jesus really is alive. And after 40 days, he ascended back to heaven. But he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. And a little while later, some of Jesus' followers, they were gathered together, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, just like he promised, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to go out into the street and share about their faith, about Jesus. And 3,000 people, as we just read, gave their lives to Jesus on that very first day. And as the weeks progressed, the church began to grow, and there were miracles, and there were signs and wonders, and it was amazing. But now, the authorities in Jerusalem, you know, they were in this very same place, they were the very same people who were just a few weeks before arrested and crucified Jesus, and they hadn't gone anywhere else. They were right there doing the same things. So the authorities now, you know, they weren't happy about this. And so they began to persecute the church just like they arrested and killed Jesus. And they actually got one of the disciples called Stephen, and they stoned him to death. And this like started a wave of persecution against the church. And an amazing thing is the apostles, the kind of original disciples of Jesus, the 11, they stayed in the city. Even though there was this persecution, they stayed in the city so they could keep the church there going. But many of the believers were scattered over the whole region and kind of had to flee for their lives. And in Acts 8 it says, "But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went." And I love this. That even though they were being persecuted and run out of the town for their faith, that they continued to share it. That nothing could stop them because it was such good news. That Jesus really is alive. And Jesus is as alive now as he was for them back then. And that Jesus gave his life on the cross because God loves every single one of us. And he doesn't want anything to separate us from him. He wants us to know his goodness in our lives now, and to know that we have a promise of eternity, that when we die, death is not the end, but there is a place for us in heaven. And that's why Jesus died and came back to life again, so that if we accept him into our lives, he forgives us for the things we've done wrong, and we are sure and be confident and can know for certain that death isn't the end, but that we get to spend eternity with God, and his plan and his purpose for us will never end. And so they began and they continued to share this amazing message. And one person was a guy called Philip, and he went to Samaria. And it says that the crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city, and they responded with great joy to this news about Jesus. And part of the reason why there was such great joy was because in this area of Samaria, there lived a man called Simon, who was a sorcerer. And it says that he had almost like the whole town like wrapped around his finger because he would like perform magic. And like people thought that he was, you know, powerful. But it says in the Bible that Simon, it was all about himself. It says he was someone who thought he was a great man. And he was like keeping the city like under his wraps, if you like. But it was all about him. But now suddenly, Philip comes with this message about who Jesus is and the power he brings to our life and how Jesus brings a freedom into our lives, and that Jesus is motivated out of love because it's not about him just, but he genuinely cares for you. And so suddenly, there was great joy. Like the time when there was a man with leprosy and he ran to Jesus and he said to him, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me well." And Jesus, it says, moved with compassion. said, I am willing, and touched the man with leprosy, and instantly he was healed. And that's Jesus' response to us, moved with compassion, and he is willing. And I shared with you before how just before Easter, we do like a kids' club, and one of the little girls, after we'd been sharing about Jesus, and she said, will you come and pray for my Bampi? Because he's, you know, he's got pain. So after the club, when he was picking her up, his name's Steve, and he used to play for Swansea City, and now he works for BT, and he does a lot of work on his knees, and he's got arthritis already in his knees and ankles, and he's in pain every day, and it's difficult for him to work. And so I said, yeah, let me pray for you. So I just prayed, Jesus, thank you that Steve's important to you, and I command the pain in his knees and ankles to go and this arthritis to go. And then when I saw him a week later, I was like, how is it now, Steve? And he said, yeah, all week I haven't had to take, normally has to do injections for the pain. So I haven't done any injections, I haven't taken any painkillers. And then about 6-7 weeks later, I saw him just before the summer. How is it now? He's like, yeah, since you prayed for me, I haven't had to do any injections. And I spoke to him last Thursday, and he's saying he's still no pain, still completely better. And he said he's starting to like read the Bible and kind of find, ask questions about God. And he said to me, he said, I never thought I would be someone that this would happen to. I never thought that I would be someone who would like know like God in a real way in my life. But God cares about every single one of us and every single person here, and he is close to us. And so when the people in Samaria heard it, they received it with great joy, and they were baptized. And baptism means when we get, it means to be immersed in water. It's like to be dunked, is like where the word comes from. And baptism, when we are immersed in water, that's showing outwardly what Jesus has done for us and the decision that we've made to follow him. So when someone, you could do it in a river, you could do it in a stream, you could do it in a pool, it doesn't really matter as long as there's, you know, water available. Many years ago, when we were in our Penland building, we couldn't like afford to get a swimming pool and it was like too cold for the beach. So someone hired a skip and we filled that up with water. So that was a little bit random, but we've only done that once. But you know, it doesn't really matter. But then this is what happens. So someone comes into the water and they kind of get dunked. Well, they do, they get dunked under the water. And what that represents Jesus death on the cross. That when Jesus died, he died and took on himself the sin, which is the wrong things that we've done that creates a barrier between us and God. And Jesus died with it and he dealt with it on our behalf and it was buried with him. And so in the Bible it says, when we became Christians and were baptized, we became one with Christ Jesus. We died with him. So that's us saying that I've died to those things too. Like I'm leaving those things behind. I've given those things to Jesus. And then when we come up out of the water again, and luckily someone's not explaining it, so you're not having to wait under the water all this time. It's, you know, in and out. When someone comes out of the water again, that is the same as Jesus who was raised to life again. And in the Bible it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, now we may also live new lives. And so just like Jesus, we're saying we are raised to new life and that we have now turned to follow him. And that we have a new life with him because of what he did. And that's our part to play in it. Jesus gave everything to us. And our part is when we turn from the things we're leaving behind and we turn to Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians it says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. And that's a gift that Jesus gives for us. But I still ask the question, like, but why? Like, why do we do that? You know, why does it matter? Why can't we just, like, mentally make the choice? Why have we got to, you know, why does Jesus ask us to do this physical thing, this outward thing of being baptized? And there's three things. And the first thing is that when we're baptized, we're putting our faith into action. And it's like the first way that Jesus invites us to put our faith into action. Because our faith in Jesus is a lived out faith. It's not a private matter. It's not just an internal matter. It's not just a set of things we believe in our heads, but it's something lived out. And we identify with Jesus through baptism. And Jesus himself was baptized. Like Jesus didn't do anything wrong. So he didn't need to get baptized. But Jesus chose to be baptized because that was his first way, if you like, of identifying with us when he got baptized. And he chose to identify himself with us. And in the same way, baptism is like the first way that Jesus has given us to outwardly identify with him. And that's why Jesus commands his followers to do it. So in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey everything, to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end of the age." And so the second thing is that Jesus did it and commands us to do it as well. And then the third thing is that baptism is more than just something symbolic. It's a bit like a gift, like Jenny was talking about this morning, but like a thoughtful gift. It's funny that she used that example. So the other week, my parents, they'd been away, and they came back, and they brought me back a present, which is very kind of them. It was a very thoughtful gift, because they know that I love biscuits, all kinds of biscuits, and always have, always will. And particularly at the moment, I'm particularly a fan of Oreos, and they spotted, I don't know where, but in a shop, an Oreo tin, this tin full of Oreos, and they brought it back for me. And when someone buys you a thoughtful gift, it's not just the gift, isn't it? But first of all, the very fact that they thought about you and they thought about like something they know that you would like, that communicates something, doesn't it? That communicates that you mean something to them, something about your relationship. And so that's like, you know when people say it's the thought that counts? Well, when it's a thoughtful gift, that's when that phrase actually works. Do you know what I mean? No, you get the, I thought about giving you a fiver, but, you know, I decided not to. It's a thought that counts, right? It doesn't work. But when it's actually, you know, a thoughtful gift, it genuinely works. And so I was very appreciative of this nice, thoughtful gift. And, oh, that, you know, it communicates something that they were thinking about me. And baptism has that element to it, like the thought of it. Our obedience in getting baptized is a sign of our love for Jesus. And that's why it's so important. But then also, you also get to enjoy the gift itself. So when someone buys you a thoughtful gift, the thought is nice, but then you actually get to use it. So I've been actually eating these Oreos, and I've been enjoying them a lot. And I was writing an essay this weekend, and I got through quite a lot of them. So there's only about half left. So both the thought that counts, but then also there's more than the thought that counts. There's the gift in itself. And baptism is more than just a thought. It's more than just symbolic, but it's actually like a gift in its own self. It's a blessing in itself that Jesus wants to give to us. And when we get baptized in obedience to him, it draws us closer to God. It is a blessing that God brings into our lives and brings into our spirit. And there's power in baptism to witness to the power of God and the difference that he makes in our lives. And Steph, for example, when she was a teenager, she was helping at a local youth group, but she wasn't a Christian. And then one of the girls invited her to her baptism. And when she was at the baptism, she saw her friend get baptized, and she heard the stories, and she saw how real Jesus is in people's life. That's when she realized and decided that she wanted Jesus in her own life as well. And we've seen many people, friends and families and relatives, who when they've seen and been at a baptism and they've experienced the love and the power of God in it, that's when they have chosen to give their lives to Jesus. And so baptism is more than symbolic, but it's a gift that Jesus has for you in itself. And that's why it's so highly valued by Jesus. And that's why it's an essential for every follower of Jesus. So that's our first part of the meal. That's like our food. And then oh, there we are, Steph. Nice one. And moving on now to the drinks. And this is the second gift, if you like, that goes along with it. And so we see that Philip has been in Samaria. He's had this amazing response. Excuse me. And then all the way back in Jerusalem, the apostles, they hear about what's going on. And so because they want to support it and help Philip, they send Peter and John to find out what's happening and to lend their support. And this is what it says. It says, "When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." And so we see the second part, the second essential, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God himself. The Holy Spirit, it's not like a mysterious force, like the force be with you. And the Holy Spirit isn't an it, but he is a he. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's one of the Trinity, like Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. He is personal. And God is all about relationship with us. Our faith is more than a set of beliefs. And amazingly, when we choose to follow Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit, his own presence, to come and live within us. He is that close to us that he comes and lives within us. And through the Holy Spirit, we enter into our relationship with God and experience our relationship with God. So in Ephesians it says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. And this is a gift that Jesus promises us. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And so when we accept Jesus into our lives and choose to follow him, the Holy Spirit enters our lives. In Romans it says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit makes us alive to God, brings us alive to God. And that's what the Bible calls being born again. And that's when Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. And the Holy Spirit brings us alive to God, and he brings the gift of eternal life to us. And he makes us sons and daughters of God. He is the one who adopts us into God's family. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives and brings out family traits in us. Now, it was great to see up on the stage here today for the first time, Jonah and Ethan on the band. And they did a great job on the voice. And sometimes we tease Ethan in youth that he is like a mini Jez. Because if you have to watch this now, where is Ethan? I'm going to embarrass you a bit. Now, the thing with Ethan and Jez is they walk alike. You've got to watch their walk. They got like the Jez is from Peckham, isn't it? And he's got like the Cockney walk, the double busy walk. And Ethan, you do it the same. It's brilliant. But I've been watching a few others, okay? You've got to watch for Suzanne and Evie Brown. Now, they walk in the same way as well. They're listening, if Suzanne's listening in Croatian, they walk in the same way, okay? Some things to look out for. People have noticed for the similar, just be me and my dad, we've got a few similar family traits. So, in the same way, the Holy Spirit lives in us, adopts us into God's family, and like the family traits of who God is, begin to rub off and show themselves in our lives, because he transforms us to be more like Jesus. So recently, I was chatting to a police officer who recently gave her life to Jesus. And she was saying, do you know what? I'm praying all the time now. She said, I've never like really prayed before. She said, this is where it is. I think I'm praying too much. And she said, she was telling me this story. She's like, the other week, I was arresting this guy. And he was being like really, really like rude, swearing, like really abusive, really aggressive. And she's like, it was going on for ages, like a really difficult arrest. And she said, normally after that kind of thing, you know, I'd be straight back to the station and I'd be chatting with all the other officers and we, you know, be like slagging them off and, oh, I can't believe this, you know, whatever. And she said, but this time, as soon as she got back in the car, she said, I just wanted to pray. I just wanted to pray for her. And she said, I was sat in the car and I was just going, Jesus, do please help her. Help her to turn her life around. Help her, you know, will you? And she began to pray for this girl. And that is the influence, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, bringing his power into us and working in us. And as we look through the New Testament in the Bible, we see that Jesus also invites us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, as well as being born again. And it uses the language of receiving the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit. And just like in Samaria here, where Peter and John, they turned up, and the believers, they'd accepted Jesus, they'd been baptized, but they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John prayed for them that they might be baptized, that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, oh, there we are. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had Clem here, and he showed some Greek words. And after it, everyone was loving the Greek words. So I got some Greek words for you here this morning, okay? So in this passage here, and throughout the New Testament, we see there's two different Greek words for when it says received. So in this story here, we see how they received Jesus, and then Peter and John prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, when it's translated into English, we translate it the same. But if you look in the Greek, there's two different verbs for the word received. And the first one is this one, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's that one there, beginning with D. And this one is talking about, this is what it uses when people receive Jesus, when they receive the good news of Jesus and accept him. And this verb talks about like to welcome or to accept. Like someone knocks on your door and you say, come in, oh, welcome. You know, you welcome someone in, you receive someone into your home. But in some ways, it's an active thing that you're actively welcoming them. But in other ways, it's kind of passive, like they're coming in. Does that make sense? And then there's another word here for when they received the Holy Spirit, which is separate. And this is lambano. And this means to take or to lay hold of. So for example, when you're at the shop and you're getting your change, you don't like receive your change back into your purse, do you, or your wallet. But you say, oh, I'm going to need that. Yeah, that's my change. And you take hold of it. You reach out and you grasp it because that belongs to you. And in the same way, we receive Jesus into our lives, the gift of eternal life and all that he has for us. And then we're invited to take hold and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's two actions to it. There's two different verbs. And the Holy Spirit, he empowers us to live the Christian life. He brings transformation into our lives and he does things that we can't do on our own. And that's why Paul says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, this word here, filled, in the Greek, you're loving some Greek today. This means to keep on being filled. Like you've got to keep charging your phone. If it said charge your phone, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to have to do that more than once. The youth, unbelievable. I saw Survivor. Every 20 minutes, I'm having to go back to the shop to charge your phones. Instead, to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And throughout Acts, we see the Holy Spirit at work in amazing ways. And Acts is called Acts of the Apostles because it's about the church. But some people have said it should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit because we see the Holy Spirit at work through people's lives on every single page. There's miracles, there's healing, there's things like speaking in tongues and prophecy, but also great wisdom. The Holy Spirit brings wisdom into our lives that comes from God. There's times where, you know, this was all brand new to them. They were like the church for the very first time and they had decisions to make and choices and they needed wisdom. And that came from the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's power in us and he enables us to do the things that Jesus did for our sakes and to benefit others. So that's why Paul, who was a leader in the early church, writes, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And a few weeks ago, Chloe was up in North Wales speaking at a conference, and she was sharing to some students there and young people about how they can share their faith and how they can pray for people who are unwell and pray for the sick and see people healed. And she prayed for people and some people got healed. And then later on, they were in a worship meeting. And there was like a bit on the floor and there was a balcony. And one of the girls who was up on the balcony, she had never realized or heard before that Jesus can heal people today until listening to Chloe's seminar. And so she was standing there in the worship and she had damaged vocal cords and hadn't been able to sing for a number of years. And she thought, well, if Jesus can heal people, then why can't he heal me? So just while the worship was going on, she prayed, Jesus, will you heal me now? Will you heal my vocal cords? And then she went to sing, and she could. And her vocal cords were healed, and she could sing, and she hadn't been able to sing for years. And she was so amazed that she went like this, stop, everyone stop. And she stopped the meeting and then told everyone what had happened. She was like, yeah, was she crying? Yeah, well, I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't there, but I want to get the details right. But she stopped everyone. And then shared her story in front of everyone in the meeting. And then they all carried on. And that is the Holy Spirit at work. That is something that none of us can do. but it's the power of the Holy Spirit who is close to us and is real and is in our lives. And maybe today, some, you know, for you here, you're a little bit like that girl where she never knew that Jesus could heal people today, but when she heard it, she thought to herself, wow, this is real. That's what I want, and let's go for it. And maybe you're thinking, well, I've been a Christian for a while, but I've never been baptized. Not as my own decision as an adult. I've never done that before. Or maybe like the Christians in Samaria, you think, well, I've been a Christian for a while, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. There was another time in Acts when Paul found some believers and he said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Spirit, a Holy Spirit. We've never heard of him. And so maybe you've never even, you know, this is very new to you. And that doesn't like detract from anything in your experience and your walk and your relationship with Jesus up to this point. It doesn't take anything away from that. But as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, he continually brings new things into our lives for us to step into and for us to get to know him better and for us to grow in. And so maybe this is one of those things for you. And so just like that girl that it was new to her, if it's new to you, then you can decide today that actually, yeah, I would like to get baptized and I would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit because this is a gift that's available to every one of us. And there was another time where there was a Roman soldier called Cornelius, and it's a little later on in Acts, and it says that he was a good man, but he didn't know Jesus. He loved God, but he didn't know of Jesus. And God spoke to him and said, go and send for Peter. And so Cornelius sent for Peter, and Peter came, and Peter and some friends came to visit Cornelius, and they began to explain about Jesus. And then it says that even as Peter was explaining, Cornelius and his friends, they were so hungry and they were so wanting to know about it and to receive it. It says this, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on these Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. So the Holy Spirit just came on them and filled them as they were listening. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to them being baptized now they've received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave the orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So here again, we see these two essentials together, these gifts that Jesus has for us, baptism and the Holy Spirit. And this example here, you know, this time it happened the other way around. They were filled with the Holy Spirit first, and then they got baptized. And so this shows us, it doesn't matter which way around, but God wants to give it to us. God is eager for us to have it, and for us to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that it's purely a gift from God to us. Because these guys, Cornelius and his friends, they'd never heard about Jesus before. They hadn't done an Alpha course, they hadn't done a discipleship course, you know, they weren't like, they hadn't been to church or anything like that. They were hearing about it, and in the moment they were so hungry for it, God gave it to them straight away. And so it's not about like something we got to build up to or work ourselves up for. If we want it, God has it ready for us. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And these are two essentials for every single one of us as we seek to be a church like we see in Acts and Acts 2 church that we see there. So I want to encourage us this morning that if you haven't been baptized, then I want to encourage you to go for it and to step out into obedience that Jesus has and to receive that gift that he has for you. And so I brought with me today a sign-up form. And Gret, if you're happy at the end, to hold it. And at the end, if you've never been baptized and you say, actually, it's something I'd like to do, come and give your name to Gret. And then in a few weeks, we'll chat about it a bit more and we'll explain like the practicalities. And after Christmas, we'll do a baptism and we'll give you plenty of notice so you can invite your friends and you can invite your family. And so if you're interested and you want to find out more, then come and sign up straight away at the end and you can register your interest for it. And then secondly, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit before, well, Jesus says all we have to do is ask him. So I want to give this morning the opportunity for every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just like Paul said, if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit before, then we can keep on being filled because we always need him in our lives. And so we can be prayed for too. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit before, well, now's a chance for you to invite him into your life and to experience what he has for you. So if you would like to, why don't we all stand together? And I'm going to pray for us. And if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit, whether it's for the very first time or again to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as like kind of a, I guess, a sign that you want to show, like accept that gift. You know when someone hands you a gift and you take it? I just want to encourage you either just to put your hand on your heart. You can close your eyes where you are. This is if you'd like to do it. Put your hand on your heart or put your hands out as if you're going to receive a gift. And just simply say, just pray in your own, just in your own mind. But as you pray, you're praying straight to God. And just say, Jesus, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. And when you just say it out loud where you are, you don't have to shout it, but just say it out loud where you are. Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray for you. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you here now. I thank you. You're a gift that Jesus promises for each one of us. And I invite you and I ask, would you fill every single person who has asked you right now to receive you? Would you fill them with your presence, with your Holy Spirit? Would you come into their hearts with your love and your power for their lives? So come now in Jesus' name. I'm just going to wait a minute. We'll just wait for a minute or two because the Holy Spirit, he comes just in his own time. And just like when you're spending time with a friend, you want to give them your attention, give them your time. So we're just going to wait and allow the Holy Spirit to come with his presence and to fill people now. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Would you come and fill our hearts now with your power and your love? Fill us to overflowing. We welcome you into our lives. We welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. Why don't you take a seat where you are? And if you're here this morning and you've done that for the first time, we'd really love... excuse me, I got this tickly cough, keeps propping up at inconvenient moments. We'd really love to continue to pray for you. So if you'd like to receive more prayer, then do feel free to come up to the front at the end, and some of the team and the leaders will be happy to pray for you. And also, in a few weeks, Chloe's been running an Alpha course down in Pub on the Pond, and in a few weeks, in November, on a Saturday, they're going to be doing a Holy Spirit session, like a Holy Spirit afternoon, where you can come and hear more about it. And I've just given you like a snapshot, but that will unpack more about who is the Holy Spirit and what is the gifts that he has for our lives and how can we grow in discovering those and learn more. And so if it's new to you, that'd be a really great thing to go along to, so you can find out more about this gift that God has given you and has for you. And other than that, let me pray for us. And then if you'd like to receive prayer, and if you'd like any prayer for healing as well, please feel free to come down and we'd be happy to pray for you before you go. Father, I thank you that you love every single person in this room today. And just like Tim was saying earlier, every person here is so valuable to you that you sent Jesus. And it was a price worth paying. And Jesus, I thank you that you give us these gifts of baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can grow in our relationship with you and know you close in our lives because you long to be close to us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here and that you bring strength and purpose and joy and peace into our lives. And I pray that you would continue to fill us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.